a big lesson that we learned and that we hope to pass to others is to put your faith into action.
This is Family Policy Matters with NC Family President John Rustin.
Welcome to Family Policy Matters. This week we are pleased to bring you part two of our conversation with Tony and Leslie Biller about their unique family and the blessings and challenges of adoption. Give us a little bit of insight, if you would, about sort of the shift that you had from hosting these children to really feeling led that, hey, this is what we think we're being called to do, and sort of what that looked like within your family at the time.
We were filled with kind of fear and trepidation about all the things that we didn't know and all the things that could go bad. And we did a lot of studying in the lead up to hosting. We tried to find big families with big adoptions. And we tried to track down the details and find out what happened. And on the one hand, it prepares you and you know what to expect, you know what to look for. But on the other hand, you know, Satan really uses that to create fear and uncertainty. Right. And you know, that's not God really saying that. You know, why do this to your family? Why take these risks? It was really a roller coaster ride heading into the hosting, and even in the hosting itself, you'd have, you know, we talked about it earlier, some wonderful, really special memories, and you'd have other times that were really very trying. There was a couple times, not 12 hours apart, where we knew we could not adopt these kids. And there were times, like I said, within 12 hours, where we said, there's no way we could adopt these kids. Yeah. In fact, there was one night we said, I wonder if we need to get them out of the house now. And it was all fear. There was a lot of ups. There were a lot of downs. You know, there were a lot of things that we didn't know. I think it was Leslie that first said, but there's a lot of things we do know. Oh. You know, we knew for certain that God was in the detail and he was providing. We knew for certain that God was leading us in this direction. We knew for certain that if they went back, there was nobody there. There was an orphanage. We knew for certain there was no church there. And we knew the statistics of kids aging out of orphanages in Eastern Europe. You know, they're dismal and worse.
Yeah.
You know, so when we looked at what we did know and we looked at how God had provided, it started making a lot more sense that, hey, this is the road we need to go down. And there was a lot of people that said, well, you know, maybe we can kind of piece them, you know, we'll get together and some of us will adopt some and some will adopt the other. But the other thing we realize is this is all they've ever had was each other. You know, God really just kind of step by step brought us down that process of daring to trust him to adopt them all.
One thing that was a turning point for me is while you're hosting, you're not allowed to talk at all to the children about adoption. It's like a taboo word. And I have often prayed prior to hosting and after to thank God for adopting us into his family. And one night, the 12 of us or 13, if we had someone there sitting around the floor, we would do prayers together. And sometimes I just go into automatic mode and I said, thank you, God, for adopt, you know, and I just caught myself and I realized he's adopted us. And here we are trying to decide if we can adopt them. It really kind of shifted my perspective. So.
Right. Well, clearly the Lord's hand was at work from the very beginning and well before that, before we and you all even knew that this was part of your plan. He knew that it was part of his plan. And speaking of that, how have you approached with your expanded family, bridging matters of faith, culture, tradition, things of that nature in day-to-day living? How has that sort of worked for you all?
Our kids really were almost like a blank slate in a lot of regards. I guess you could say they were pre-evangelized in that they were aware of Christianity, and they had a summer camp that they went to every summer that was run by American missionaries in Latvia, and they knew about the Bible and they picked up pieces, but they really didn't have, you know, these kids are, in some regards, I don't want to dramatize it. It's not like they're living in the jungle trying to, you know, eat roots and insects, but their survival is much more basic, mm-hmm. the things they're dealing with. You know, basic relationships, feeling love, not getting beaten up. Our kids really didn't have any, they had a need. And to the extent they talked about religion, they wanted to know more. They were very, very hungry. You know, you can't teach somebody about the gospel and you can't teach them to pray if you can't speak their language. But we'd still try. And we found a Latvian Bible. And I remember one of the first nights, you know, praying with them. And I mean, it was just the simple stuff with orphans that we take for granted. Getting the kids to sit down and listen and stay sitting down long enough to say a prayer was a challenge. Pretty difficult to get through some of the, you know, real basic traditions at the outset. But now you fast forward and we talked about fears and you talked about language. When we picked those kids up from the orphanage, you know, that prayer would have been in December of 2013. We picked them up from the orphanage August 1st in 2014. And one of our fears were that, you know, the younger kids in particular were going to have long-term needs and disabilities. And the littlest girl, she didn't speak in Latvian until the age of 3, didn't speak Latvian. And so we had heard about kids from foreign countries that never learned the new language or would be 10, 12 years old and still couldn't speak it. And so those were the things we were grappling with. And you know, like I said, I married up in the gene pool, and Leslie's like, you know, I think you're being a little bit worried here about, you don't need to be about her in particular. And, you know, God is in the details, and he's got a wonderful sense of humor, you know, typically at our expense. Well, we pick those kids up in early August, so it's 6 months later, and we go back to this house we rented in Maza Kapa in Latvia, and we all sit around to pray. And it might have been the second night, and I'll never forget it. We go around and it's her turn, the little girl's turn, and she starts praying in English. And I just stunned. You know, she hardly spoke Latvian 6 months earlier, and here she was praying from what she picked up, heard before, in English. And just, you know, chill went through and was like, God, you know, you've got it going on, we don't. You know, my fears were so off base. Well, then, you know, just to God to remind me of his sense of humor, the kids, we go around in a circle, the rest of the kids keep praying, and she jumps up on the bench next to me, and she's got that little tiny girl voice, and she's whispering in my ear, and it just feels like a feather, and it tickles, and I can't really understand what she's saying. And it comes around to me, I always pray last, and I pray, and I can feel her stiffen up next to me. And she jumps down in the middle of us in the circle, and she starts hobbling around like she's using a cane. But there's no cane there. She's pretending to use a cane. And she starts chattering in Latvian. And all the Latvian kids are between the huge eyeballs like of shock and bursting out laughing. I said, what is she saying? And they kind of hesitated. I said, well, Dad, she's saying, poor Dad, his brain doesn't work. He doesn't know how to pray in Latvian.
She had been trying to convince me to say the prayer and tell me how to say the prayer in Latvian.
Oh, goodness.
I was put in my place.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
Well, Tony and Leslie, looking back at all of the logistics and the spiritual preparations and all the other things that you all had to do to prepare your home and your hearts for this adoption, what would you say to couples who may feel that the Lord is leading them toward adoption, but who feel intimidated or maybe uncertain about the prospects of opening their home or their lives to additional children, especially if they already have children of their own?
I think a big lesson that we learned and that we hope to pass to others is to put your faith into action. So many of us, our automatic response is, I need to pray about that. And these children are growing. They're not stopping. For example, we were just asked to host another child, and she had passed the deadline. She had a failed adoption recently, and then a failed hosting. So she's passed the deadline to list on the hosting page. You can't just say, I'm going to pray about this. I mean, pray about it, yes, but when it's something obvious that the Lord is calling you to do, you step out and do it until it's stopped and the Lord stops it. I think it's especially a great lesson for your children to witness, is we're not just going to talk the talk, but we're going to actually put our faith in action and step out in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the big learning, so many learning points for us, and Leslie and I have grown so much of this process, and I think they're all our children, but our biological children have as well, and I know that the new kids have really grown literally and certainly spiritually and academically, but just trust God. You know, our natural disposition, you know, at least mine and Leslie's, is to think of all the reasons why not, or why should I do that? And looking back, the right answer is, why shouldn't I do that? If I know this is something that pleases God, there should be a compelling reason for me to say no. But we don't go about it that way. You know, in our fallen natures, we look at, well, I need a big kind of, this is a big commitment. I need a kind of a compelling case to do it. And that, of course, that's absolutely backwards. And you know, we can say that because we went about it absolutely backwards. And looking back, you know, God absolutely provides. It's not necessarily easy, but you know, if you look to Him, He provides across the board and makes life just that much more worth living.
Well, as we wind down our conversation, I know that you all have kept a blog and some other insights that I'm sure would be very helpful and of great interest to our listeners. I know, having heard your experiences and your willingness to share the insights on this program, that many of our listeners may be willing to know how they can learn more and how they can pray for you all. Where can they go to learn more about your story, and where would you suggest that individuals go if they are considering adoption? What resources were helpful to you that may be helpful to them?
So we have a Facebook group called Adopt Six. And if anybody looks that up and requests to join, Latvia requires, until the adoption is finalized, they are very particular about privacy issues and making their pictures of their children public. So we started this private Facebook group. And Tony has a blog.
Yeah, sapphiresky.org. You'd have to hit the adoption keyword to find the articles. A real blessing to us, and it was given to us by our hosting agency, or referred to us by our hosting agency, is a book by Karen Purvis, The Connected Child. Must read if you're going to go down this road to really understand what's going on inside these kids.
Yeah, and I would also add that hosting is a really big blessing for the children and the families. I was skeptical going into it that, you know, these children might go back being very disappointed. But in a lot of cases, and in the case of our children, they would not agree to be adopted had they not been hosted, because they had never experienced a functional family. They didn't want to leave the orphanage. That was their safe place. So hosting really does work, and there are several hosting agencies. The one we went through was called Open Hearts and Homes. Another big one in this area is New Horizon. There's Project 143.
Well, we will, for those who are listening on the radio, we will have this program on our website at ncfamily.org. Again, that's ncfamily.org, and we will provide links and other information about the resources that you all have provided, as well as some additional helpful resources. And with that, unfortunately, Tony and Leslie Biller, we are out of time, but it has been just a wonderful opportunity to visit with you all. I know our listeners appreciate you so much. We appreciate you and the example that you set, your willingness to open your heart and your home to these incredible children and to make a difference in the lives of so many, both within your family and well beyond. So thank you so much. We appreciate you and wish you all the best this Christmas.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, a production of NC Family. To listen to our radio show online, and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.